when you're open to receive something greater than yourself, you receive it. And yeah. It's just so, so amazing that you were able to, you know, create this transformation for yourself and you know, escape. I don't want to say escape from, you know, from the tragedy, but you survived a tragedy by you being receptive to a message from divine. And sometimes it is, you know, you get away from a tragedy, and sometimes you get away with a pretty amazing stuff, like, you know, healing the freaking planet, you know. So it's like, either way, you always, when you are open to receive messages, it happens so, so good. You just have to have your heart open, your mind open, and miracles happen. Like, I do believe that these are, you know, they're miracles. The Fearless and Successful Podcast is hosted by your Hype Girl D, and it's designed for change makers just like you. As an activator of human potential and freedom architect, I have one mission with this podcast: to show you that you can be, do, and have anything you desire. I love all things money, mindset, and manifestation. I am so excited to share my personal hacks to help you activate your infinite potential. And I also will be sharing fearless stories from leaders around the world who designed life and business on their own terms. Remember, if we can do it, so can you. Fearless soul, if you're ready to dream big and make impact, let's get this party started. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, fearless people. Whenever you're tuning in, we are going to Oklahoma. I believe that we never had a guest from Oklahoma, so I'm so stoked. And beyond that she's from Oklahoma, it doesn't really matter where in the space and time and place she is. I feel that she has such a great, profound message, and I just, you know, no pressure, but I really, really strongly feel that my guest today, Jennifer Takagi, who is an intuitive business coach and energy healer, she is today to blow your socks away. Oh, that's right. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So excited. So tell me, you know, what happened? So where did the story of Jennifer being this intuitive business coach, energy healer, where did that story started? How did it start?
Well, I'm going to say, like many entrepreneurs, it was kind of like a bunny trail, and you're on and off the path and here and there and everywhere. And then you finally land, right? You just end up where you are. But to go back a little bit further on this intuitive piece, I was born on a Monday. My first time in church was the next Sunday. I've always been a believer. And so as you grow up and you're a believer and you pray, and sometimes you get a yes, sometimes you get a no, sometimes it's a wait kind of answer. So I was always familiar with getting messages of some sort at some level. And I was in my early 30s and I woke up sick one day, and I was having that moment, you know, in your early 30s, and I worked for the federal government, and you go to work, like, you don't just call in sick. You have to be really, really sick to call in sick. You're building your reputation as a, you know, responsible employee. And I was so sick, and I was sitting at the kitchen table trying to decide, am I sick enough to stay home or well enough to go to work? Like, what am I going to do? And this very soft, gentle voice said, stay home, take care of yourself. Well, that's really odd, because in your 30s, you don't stay home and take care of yourself. You just keep going, keep going, keep going. So I just kind of had this quick recollection of my godmother one time saying, when you have a message from God, the divine, the universe, higher self, whatever term you want to put on it, it's soft and gentle, but it may not make sense. And I'm like, well, that's really weird. And why would I think of her? Like the whole thing, you know, like you're having this whole, you know, stream of consciousness moment. And then this immediate voice came in, very harsh, very demanding. And it was, you need to go to work. You have things to do. And let me give you your to-do list. Higher self, the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call it, right? So I've got these two messages. One is soft and gentle, but it kind of didn't make sense because I should go to work. The other one is harsh and feels terrible, but it was right. Like I had a lot to do. So in the end, I thought, well, I'll go in at noon. Like I'll stay home a little while. I'll take a shower. I'll go in at noon. I'll split the difference and do half a day. So I called my boss's secretary, Teresa, and she answered the phone. And I was like, hi, Teresa, it's Jennifer. I had bronchitis. I was so sick. I could hardly talk. So she says, oh my gosh, you sound terrible. You're not coming in, are you? And I went, well, I have a lot to do. I think I'll come in about noon. And she says, okay, we'll see you tomorrow. Well, that was the last time I ever spoke to Teresa. Because less than 2 hours later, the whole house shook. And that is the day that became known as the Oklahoma City bombing, April 19th, 1995. And I worked for the federal government, the Department of Housing and Urban Development. And that was my building. And I knew immediately that I was not supposed to be there. I'm often asked about survivor's guilt. And I've never had any survivor's guilt because I know I wasn't supposed to be there. Now, the next question is, well, what about the people who were there? 35 people from my office alone were killed that day. So it was catastrophic loss. And we can't hear the intuitive messages unless we're still. So the people at work were—
Say that again. Jennifer, say that again.
You cannot hear the intuitive messages unless you are still.
That's it, you guys. Write this down.
Yeah, so the people at work, they were on the phone. They were in meetings. They were preparing for meetings. Other people around them were talking. There were so many distractions that even if God were screaming at the top of his lungs, he could not have necessarily moved everywhere everyone where they needed to be. So you have to be still, you have to be quiet. We were very fortunate because there was a computer training going on the ninth floor. Our office space was most of the seventh floor and all of the eighth floor. And the ninth floor was the highest floor. But there was a whole group of people in computer training. Well, none of the people in that room were hurt. Some people in the stairwell going to the room were hurt, but not in that room. There were trainings that were happening off-site, so people were going to meetings in various places. So the 35 that we lost, it could have been substantially worse, but 35 was a lot. It was a lot. So you would think that I would start listening more frequently, more often, and ask for more for more messages that are life-changing. But, you know, it's just life. You move on as best you can. So fast forward a number of years, I started training for the government. Yeah, did you have a question?
Yeah. When did you make a connection that this was this? When did the connection, how long after this happened, you made the connection that this was the intuitive voice?
Oh, I knew immediately.
You knew immediately. Oh, amazing.
Yeah. As soon as I found out what had actually happened, it was like, I was not supposed to be there. I was told to stay home.
Yeah. But you didn't really like went with it like, oh, it can be more than that. This was one hit. It happened. You didn't question, oh, can I tap more into that?
Yes, I had. Okay. So it had come up multiple times in various ways. That was just the largest way, the most profound. But for instance, my husband and I were trying to have children. We never were successful. We never had kids. But I was driving home and had this complete conversation with the doctor of, I'm so sorry it didn't work, you're not pregnant. And literally I got home and there was a message on the answering machine, you know, please call me back. I called him back and he said, I'm so sorry to have to tell you. So like, I had it off and on, not that that wasn't humongous, but the Oklahoma City bombing was the biggest. So then the little messages would just kind of pop up from time to time, but I did not intentionally stop to pay attention. Like, I just went to work, I did my thing, and, you know, you just, you're living your life, and that just kind of wasn't, that wasn't part of it as far as consciously choosing to look at it. So fast forward a number of years, I was asked to do training. I said, no, you can't really tell the federal government no, you kind of have to do it. So I did, I learned a lot, and I traveled the country training. And I got back to the office on a Friday, which was April 19th, and there's an anniversary service every year. And I like to go to that. So I'd gotten home from this business trip like at 3 a.m. and I was there for the 9 o'clock service. And the next Wednesday, I found out that all that work I had done for the last year traveling was to set us up to do a massive reorganization and I could retire or relocate. And I was like, really? I mean, that wasn't what my plan was. But I was awfully young to retire. But I was like, yep, this is a sign. It is time to go. I am out the door. So I did leadership development training for a number of years. And then I met a spiritual healer. I didn't know what that was, but I fell in love with her and hired her immediately. And then I met a woman who read Akashic Records and taught you how to read Akashic Records, the messages of your soul. I immediately signed up and learned. Then I got to the end of that course and I got an email that said, congratulations, Jennifer, you're a certified soul care coach. I didn't even know that was a thing or that I had signed up for it, right? I'm just following the path. Wherever that little bunny goes, I'm just following. So I put in this group, I'm a certified soul care coach. I can read Akashic Records. Who wants a reading? And I put 5 times that I was available. And when they were gone, they were gone. And I did the very first reading. It was a woman. The group was very large, hundreds of people. And I did the first reading. And you, if you're familiar at all with Akashic Records, like, you don't know what message is going to come through. You don't know how they're going to receive it. Like, we know it's the message for them, but are they ready to hear it? You're hoping so. So it's always a little bit sketchy in that aspect of confidence. And she took a deep breath when I finished and she said, wow, can I write you a testimonial? Yes, yes. That's like manna from heaven. Please, yes, write me a testimonial. So I continued doing the rest of those readings and I'm still doing leadership development training. I do training for the great state of Oklahoma. I've spoken at the state HR conference, numerous associations. But things just never fully came together. Like, it was always hard. Like, randomly I'd get a call, will you keynote speech, you know, do a keynote speech for this? Yes, I will. And I just thought the phone would ring again. And it didn't. And hey, would you come speak at this? Yes, I will. And then the phone didn't ring again. So I hired a guy to help me with marketing and languaging. And we did 2 half-day sessions, one on Monday, one on Wednesday. So we do Monday and we're trying to bring in a little bit of intuitive, a little bit of Akashic Records. Like, how do you do that when you're in a corporate type platform? And then we took a break on Tuesday and Wednesday morning. We were going to start over. And I woke up Wednesday morning and it was, oh, interesting. The bombing was on a Wednesday too. Maybe Wednesday's my day. It was a Wednesday morning and I woke up and I was like, nope, this is it. I'm going all in on the spiritual side, the woo side. All of my learnings of leadership and change management and behavioral profiles and all that are all going to come into play, but I'm I'm going to do it. I'm going to take a big leap and I'm going to step out as a spiritual healing type person. Then I started learning other modalities and put them all together and created my own little Destined for Success one-on-one coaching program. So
I love this story. And I have a next question immediately because I feel that this is so good, you guys. This is so good. Like I'm literally like seeing my story. So tell me, like, when you said you it was Wednesday morning, you're supposed to do the second part of your marketing training that has to be a cookie cutter, what is known for whatever, for federal, for government. But you decided to say no to that and to follow your own dharma, your own voice, whatever feels aligned with you. Was there any resistance there? Did you felt like, no, I don't, like, ego is saying one thing, you should go this path, you know this path, and there's like a soul calling that is saying, this is where you're supposed to go. Were there any resistance and how you dealt with that?
My biggest resistance and fear was that I live in Oklahoma. It is a very conservative state. It's a very Christian state. It's a very fundamentalist Christian state. I was raised a very liberal Christian, so I can be a little more open-minded than some of my friends and fellow Oklahomans. And my biggest fear was telling people what I do. And one of my very good friends, when I started on this path, we were talking about it. And I was working with that first spiritual healer. And I was sharing with her what had come up in our conversations. And she said, "That's a bunch of BS. How much money did she steal from you?"
Wow, that's a big one. Oh, we hear this a lot.
Yes. And I said, I was kind of proud of my response, actually. And I said, "Well, if I gave it to her freely, she didn't steal it." Like, what? So later in the evening, as the evening progressed, we're wrapping up and going our separate ways, and she says, "Keep me posted on what's going on." And I was very unchristian-like in that moment. And I was like, "F you, no." And she was like, "Why?" And I said, "You've already told me you don't believe and you think it's a bunch of BS. So why would I share with you?" So it was a very long time before I started sharing with her. And so then I just start sharing teeny tiny bits here and there to see who was going to be supportive and who would not.
And here's also like really, really interesting. I love that you're talking about this because I see now, like, people who are listening to this, they are afraid to do what they are meant to do, what they're called to do, because they have this fear of what others will say. And my question to you is, you probably had to let go a bunch of people. Was that something that you knew, that the cost of having these people in your life that are naysayers, that are not, they don't believe in what you are doing, was that cost, like, or the cost of you pursuing your dharma, did that outweigh the fear and the cost of letting go of these people and relationships that were not serving you?
Well, I have not given up any of my people. I collect people and I even tell them that. I have a really tight friendship with a business person now we've become just best of friends. And when I met her, she made the comment, "Yeah, like, I don't like to get tied down. My friendships, you know, they're a short season." And I was like, "Oh no, you got me now, because I collect people and you're in my world and you can't get out." And it's worked out that way. So it's been beautiful all the way around. And she teases about that now. So I have not cut anyone out of my life. I have chosen what I want to share and with whom I share it, which is very different. And I think that my experience has been when people have needed and felt called to cut people out of their lives, there was more going on than just, I don't understand the path you're on, which is where I am. They just don't get it. And that's okay. They don't have to. And I collect people, so I don't want to get rid of them. My best friend since I was 11, we met when we were 11 years old, and we've been together ever since, which is a long time. And she doesn't understand what I do. She doesn't really want to talk about what I do. She's extremely supportive if I say, oh, I have this event coming up, I'm putting a talk together. And she'll be like, oh my gosh, like, how's it going? And, you know, that way she's super supportive. But she went with me to a business conference, and she went sightseeing and stuff during the day. And that evening I had worked on a client. Well, she was a friend at the conference who had a frozen shoulder, and she just kept like grabbing her arm and wincing in pain. And I said, are you ready to go fix that? And she goes, yes, let's go fix that. Well, the next day she could just like circle her arm completely around. It was good as gold. So we went down and met my girlfriend for dinner and drinks. And my friend was like, yeah, gosh, it's been a long day, sightseeing, blah, blah, blah. And I have this headache and it just won't go away. And my business friend goes, oh, well, why don't you have Jennifer just take care of that? And my friend tried to melt into the back of the booth going, no, 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 no. And I said, no, we don't talk about these things. And so like, we have our lines. And so the people who don't want to hear about it and can't accept it, I'm okay with that. There are enough people who do. So instead of needing to cut people out, I brought people in who can support me. And beautiful. So I can have those conversations with somebody else.
Beautiful. I think that's so beautiful because we choose, I think we choose who to, you said you choose who will support you. You have enough support. But also, I think this is more important what you said. She doesn't need to understand. She just supports you, which is so, so important. If it happens to, I had a story where, yeah, my ex-husband, he didn't understand what I'm doing. Like, he really didn't understand what the F I'm doing, you know, jumping around and, you know, like, but that support kind of just faded, you know, he got tired of supporting me without understanding. So that's why I asked. And it's hard when you don't understand, also when you're close to someone, like, you know, spouse or partner, life partner. When you don't understand what the other person is, and they're not, you have to have, I believe that you have to have shared values, you have to have shared vision. We did not, we at one point, we just, it was gap, we grew apart. So that was really not challenging, but it just made a clear sign that our contract is ended. I wish I would say we consciously uncoupled. Now I can say that we are friends. We have three beautiful kids together, so we are trying to co-parent. But it was hard. It was really, really hard to kind of let go of that relationship. So I bow to you that you are able to really, you know, have people in your life and consciously decide like this. These are people who support me, and it's so, so good. Tell me what is like the biggest challenge that you came across with sharing your gifts and with your business? What was one of the biggest challenges?
Stepping into it. Like, it was fine to do it a little bit on the side, and it was fine doing it for free. But the idea of this is who I am, and I, in one of the groups I'm in, they're like, what's your expert title? And I was like, well, I'm an intuitive business coach. And she was like, yeah, that's so vanilla. Like, nobody knows what that is. And like, what? So just recently, I was talking to a business colleague that I highly respect, and I don't even know how it came up. And I said, well, you know, one of the books I wrote was Reach Your Goals in 12-Minute Increments. And she was like, oh, tell me more. So the next day I was in Jamaica at a Speakers Playhouse Live international retreat. And so we all spoke from stage. So I'm now officially an international speaker, not just only on Zoom. And I gave this talk on how I came up with the 12-minute increments. And the next day somebody came up to me and said, you're the 12-minute increment coach, because you help people get their goals in order in 12-minute increments, but you also do quick healings in 12-minute increments because they can be very fast, very powerful. And I was like, oh yeah, I can be the 12-minute increment coach. Yeah, I can totally do that. Like, that feels good and easy. Nobody knows what it is because it's made up, right? But then they say, well, tell me more. So the people who don't get the intuitive, they don't get the healing, it's let's talk about how you can start reaching your goals, like in little shorter bursts. So that just came together beautifully.
I love that, because I don't like to call myself business coach either, because I just, you know, people, when they ask me, what do you do? I just say, I'm a freedom architect. And they're like, what? So yeah, I love that. So tell us more about, what is it, the 12-minute increment? Tell us more about that. I'm really, really intrigued.
So Jack Canfield wrote the book, The Success Principles. And if you're not familiar with that book, Chicken Soup for the Soul, that whole series, he's the creator of that. So in this book, The Success Principles, he has put together all the principles that highly successful people just do. They know it, they do it, and that's why they're at the top of their game. And the very first principle is take 100% responsibility for every aspect of your life. But if that's too hard, take 5%. And I was like, 5%? Like, what's 5%? So that became like a real quest. And I was asked if I would do a talk at an association, an HR association luncheon. And I said, yeah, I want to talk about step one on your path to success is taking 100% responsibility for your life. That's what I want to talk about. So I'm putting the talk together, and I got completely obsessed with 5%. And the very long story condensed, 5% of 1 hour is 12 minutes. So, and in the book, in the training, they give all these examples. If I took 5% more, I would not go eat fast food as often. I would ride my bike more often, but like, there's not like a number. I mean, like a number, not just more often or more of. So, okay, what can I do in 12 minutes to better my life? I have an exercise bike like 4 feet from me. If I wanted to improve my cardiovascular and even muscular health, because I could up the setting, right? Instead of riding it 0 minutes in the last year, I can start writing it 12 minutes a day, and that's going to add up. If I want to clean off my desk, I could set aside 12 minutes and start at one side and work my way through. Am I going to be finished in 12 minutes? No. But once I can see the progress, I can keep going. If I want to have a stronger relationship with my husband, who also does not really understand what I do. He was telling people I did voodoo. I asked him to please not say that. Bless his heart. If I wanted to have a better relationship with him, I would literally have us do a 12-minute conversation with no cell phones or iPads. Like, what would happen if we had a conversation with no distraction? It sounds minimal, but what are you doing now? You're doing zero now. or you're doing a minute here or there, but what if you did 12 minutes? So then I found out once this all came out, because like I came up with this all by my own self. Like this is my whole thing. And I was talking to an amazing guy named Ronnie Tsunami. No, that's not his real name, but you'll find him all over the internet as Ronnie Tsunami. And he goes, oh my gosh, there are 12 months in a year. The clock has 12 hours on a clock. Oh my gosh, 12 is everywhere. So then I Googled, you know, the significance of 12. Well, apparently 12 and 12 minutes has been a long-term thing, but I just didn't know it because I was in my own little bubble. So that's what it is. And then if people don't want to do a full hour with all the different modalities involved in a full session, but they have that one thing, like the frozen shoulder, like what, Jennifer, fix this one thing. Cat allergies have become a really, you know, trendy thing for me. I've healed a lot of people of cat allergies. Once we identify what it is, in 10 or 12 minutes, we're done. So I've got the whole strategic piece of it over here and the healing piece over here. So I can be the 12 minute coach, 12 minute success coach. Yeah, that's what it is.
I love this. It's so like, it's mind blowing. It's so mind blowing. And how you actually like, yeah, 12 is such a significant. I think not because for me, 8 is such a powerful number, such a significant. And of course, 3, I have 3 daughters. And for me, everything happens in 3s or 8s.
I'm the third daughter.
Right. Well, I'm one of 3. So it's like, yeah, for me, 3s and 8s, I think like rounded numbers like really do the magic. But 12, like that is such a, as you say, such a strategic, but also very, very powerful number. And it makes sense. You made it so clear for me. And I want to ask you a question. So what are some of the modalities, like apart from that strategic, like, you know, and you go into conversation and healing and all this stuff, what are some other modalities that you use to help your clients, your people, you know, people you impact, to actually go from you know, surviving to thriving, really?
So when they work with me, if you know, I've had to kind of separate it a little bit, because there are a few things people can do on their own, and there are other things that I need to be the catalyst and the conduit. So in a one-on-one session, we open their Akashic records, which are the messages of their soul, and then we identify the few things that really are causing the biggest problem. So for one client, her two big things were, one, she had eczema on her skin, and it went up her arm onto her chest and was moving up her neck towards her face. I did not know that eczema was painful. And apparently you will wake up in the night with a lot of pain. So that was like our number one priority, was the eczema, because you can't execute on what you want to do if you're in pain and not sleeping and all that. So that was our number one. And number two, she was making a shift in her business, and she was, I'm going to use the term insecure. She was a little insecure on making this shift and how to make it work out. So using the emotion code to identify trapped emotions that are impacting you physically, emotionally, and spiritually, we did that. And we also went the next step and used the body code. And with the body code, we identify imbalances and misalignments in the body, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, create using our subconscious and our desire and intention to create the balance and the alignment. We solve the problems, such as the woman with her frozen shoulder, like it was good to go. The gal with the eczema, it took 5 times before the eczema was gone. But after 2, on our 3rd session, she goes, my eczema is better. I want to move on to something else. And I was like, no, because it's going to come back. We have to keep going. And we were able to get to the point that she was allergic to a chemical that was used to wash eggs, which eggs are a little bit porous, so the chemical got into the eggs when she was 3 years old, and she had been suffering from eczema since she was like 4 or 5. But it wasn't the actual toxin. It was the energy of the toxin had stayed present in her field. Once we got that completely cleared out, which that was like 5 sessions in, because your subconscious will only heal what it wants to heal and won't harm you. So it's a little bit at a time. So I use body code and emotion code together, like on pretty much every session, to try to create that balance for clients. And for me personally, using the body code, I had a negative broadcast message, which is like a radio tower playing a song on low in the background. And it was, I can't. And I was like, that's not true. I can do anything. But no, it was kind of true. I would say, oh, I can't do that because of this, and I can't do that. And I've had surgery on both knees and had some problems with it. I was like, oh, I can't do that. My knees won't let me. And wow, I cleared that out. I had been working out with a trainer, so my knees were better. My husband and I went to a wedding in Italy, which was spectacular. And we went down to Pompeii, and there was this fairly large, in my opinion, staircase, and you had to walk to the top. And the guide said, walk partway, turn around, look at the view. And I looked at that staircase and I thought, nope, I'm going to go straight to the top and then I'll enjoy the view. I went straight to the top, and later, like within moments, as I was trying to catch my breath, it was very, very hot. And, you know, I just walked up this huge flight of stairs. I was like, wow. If I hadn't cleared that message of I can't, that had been playing on repeat, I would not have made it up that staircase as easily and effortlessly as I did. I tell the story, this isn't necessarily true, but it's fun to tell. I would have been sitting halfway up crying, and my husband would have been trying to drag me, get your boat on, let's go, let's go. And I would have been going, no, I can't, I can't. I didn't do that. I probably wouldn't, but it's a fun story. So if you're trying to step into something new, it's a little bit scary, but you could have trapped emotions that are saying, ooh, if you do that, it's going to be scary. Oh, you're going to be rejected. Oh, nobody will love you. And you don't even know it. Mm-hmm. So we clear those out. You can step into it. I had a client just, this is November that we're recording this, people. It's November. I had a call with her in September, and she wanted to step into the woo and the spiritual, but she was scared because she had always been corporate. And we cleared the trapped emotions around that. And it was probably 2 weeks later, she texted me and said, I went into my website platform. I think she had Kajabi. I went into Kajabi. I got a template. I created a website. It's imperfect, but it's done. It's out there. I have now stepped out. I've just come out to the world as woo. And I was like, oh my gosh. And she said, I think the end of that was, I couldn't have done that without, you know, that work of getting rid of those trapped emotions. So you have to get rid of them. Like they're going to trip you up at some point.
This is so insane what you're saying to me right now, because today I received a soul reading. And I'm going to give a shout out to, she was a guest on our podcast, my dear soul sister, Despina. We connected when I wanted to interview for my podcast. And instead of that, she did my emotion. She did emotion code for me. That was 2 years ago. And today, she sent me soul reading, a 15-page report. Just a gift. Like, it was just a tremendous gift. She said, you did so much for me, such an impact, which I swear to God, like, I just show up. I'm just there. Like, you know, I share my truth, and that's what it is. Nothing, we never work together. It's just like, I'm serving with my message, with my truth. And she sent me this 15-page report, my soul reading. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to read it. And I literally, I said, I'm going to read it after tonight's last interview, and I was already like, oh, this is 15 pages, freaking, I can't read this. I said to you that you have a message for me. I have to read this because, and why I'm bringing this up, because this is, and this is always, you know, when you're open to receive, I think that's what it is. You, when you're open to receive something greater than yourself, you receive it. And yeah. I'm just, it's just so, so amazing that you were able to, you know, create this transformation for yourself and, you know, escape. I don't want to say escape from, you know, from the tragedy, but you survived a tragedy by you being receptive to a message from divine. And sometimes it is, you know, you get away from a tragedy, and sometimes you get away with a pretty amazing stuff, like, you know, healing the freaking planet, you know. So it's like, either way, you always, when you are open to receive messages, it happens so, so good. You just have to have your heart open, your mind open, and miracles happen. Like, I do believe that these are, you know, they're miracles.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So the question that I ask all my guests, and whew, you know, I feel like you have pretty incredible story behind this one. What was one fear that you needed to overcome, and it was freaking hard, but now when you look back, that was a significant moment in your life? Apart from obvious.
Well, there have been quite a few, but I'm going to go with it was an evening. I remember it very clearly that I decided I was going to retire and start my own business. I had told my husband several years before, I have this target date. I'm going to retire at this date. We had a change in the presidency and the administration, and I was no longer going to be able to retire at that age. I was going to have to work longer, which was fine. And so this opportunity to retire came out of the left field. Like, it was nowhere on my radar. But I did actually retire at about the age I was planning on years before, but thought I couldn't. And we found out on a Wednesday, and it was a Thursday, and this woman called, and my boss was out of town, and I was filling in, and she said, I need this information. And I said, okay, well, I personally don't have the answer, but I know who does. It's going to take me a little while. Do you know what's happening? And she goes, oh yeah, the big reorg. What are you going to do? And I said, I don't know. And she goes, it's all about the money. Follow the money. And I went, what? And she goes, figure out from if you retire now versus waiting the 5 or 6 years I would have needed to wait, and take it out to 80 years old. And how much money is the difference? And if the amount is not that great, find something else you can do to make it up in the meantime. But follow the money. And it took me about 3 weeks of looking at my Social Security piece, the retirement piece. There were a couple things because of my age that would be reduced because of my age to figure out what that actual financial loss was. And I will say, I worked for an evil, horrible woman, and I really wanted to get away from her. But I was in brushing my teeth one night, getting ready for bed. And my husband was like, well, you know, you could go to Dallas and it's only 3.5 hours. You could drive back and forth on the weekends, or you could go to Kansas. Like, we were trying to maneuver everything to work. And I was brushing my teeth and I thought, I'm out. And I walked in, and he was in the living room watching TV, and I was still holding my toothbrush. And I said, I think you need to adjust to the idea that I'm going to go ahead and retire the first day that I can. And he was just What? Because I have our health insurance in the US. It's a big deal to have health insurance. Well, fortunately, since I officially retired, I was able to maintain our health insurance because some people stay because they, you know, don't have health insurance. So that was just like a really pivotal moment because I had 3 weeks of, do I find a way to make it so I stay or do I walk away? And that was like a really big moment of trusting that it would work out, trusting that somebody would want to hire me to do, you know, consulting work or speak at events or do breakout session trainings. And that was like, then your ego really is on the line. Does anybody want me? So that was like, in this latter half of my life was a big fear thing to step through.
And here you are. No regrets.
No.
Oh my God. So amazing. Yeah. And we are, you know, approaching to finishing this off. Is there any message you want to leave my audience with or something, you know, Coach D, you didn't ask me this. I want to share this.
Well, I will do my 3 points of going from surviving to thriving very quickly.
Go for it.
The first one is retrain your brain. And that is identify those thoughts and those statements that you make to yourself on a daily basis that are negative and destructive and tearing yourself down and flip them into a positive. And once you flip them into a positive, record them on your phone. I love the app ThinkUp. It's free. And start training your brain to look for the positive instead of the negative. The second piece is have a crystal clear vision of what you want. And sometimes when you share your vision with people, they're not very supportive because they don't get it. And let me just say, I'm the youngest of four. I have two older sisters. And with my one that's 3 years older, we'd lay on the grass and watch the clouds in the summer. And I'd say, look, there's an elephant. And she'd say, there's not an elephant. And I'm like, yeah, look right there. She's like, there's not an elephant. And then a few seconds later, there wasn't an elephant for me either, right? Because the clouds had blown away and shifted. Your vision is your own. And somebody else can't see your elephant. And it's okay, because you know that elephant's there and it's yours and it's there for you. So be crystal clear on your vision. And if you share it with other people, know that not everybody's going to get it, and that's okay. Just, it's okay. And the third thing is you've got to take some baby steps to get there. It's kind of like the 12-minute increments. What is something you can do? What's a baby step you can take to take yourself closer to where you want to be? It doesn't have to be the end result, but what's one baby step you can take?
So simple. I love this. You know, we don't need to complicate things. Simplicity is the key. And yes. I love this piece about the vision. You know, we talk about this a lot on this podcast. Your vision is there for you. It's meant for you. So just go for it and take baby steps, you know. It's so, so good. Oh my goodness, Jennifer. These are like some really, really good nuggets. Why can people connect with you and, you know, reach out to you and see more of your creations?
Right. So my podcast is on all the platforms and it's called Destined for Success, because mm-hmm. I think we're all destined for more success than we have. And then my website is jennifertakagi.com. And few things there that might be of interest to the audience.
Amazing. You guys, make sure to check the podcast. You know, you want to hear this beautiful voice again. And check the website. We're going to put all the links in the show notes and also the social media where you can connect with Jennifer. This was so, so amazing. Like my soul is on fire. It's 9 p.m. almost here in Sweden. And I feel like I can rock this night, you know.
Thank you. It has just been a pleasure.
So, so, so amazing. Okay, you guys, If you need to listen to this podcast again, go ahead and listen. But if you really got some takeaways, please take a screenshot, share your insights, share your aha moments with us. Tag us on your stories on IG, on X, or whatever platform you are. And, you know, tell us, what was your big aha moment? We would love to know. Thank you, Jennifer, again. And you guys have fun and don't forget to be awesome.
Thank you.
Ciao.
My fearless soul, thank you so much for tuning in and taking the time to listen to this episode. I appreciate you and I am so excited to hear from you. If you haven't yet, please go to kite.link/insider and leave a review. Extra points if you screenshot this episode and post it on your IG stories and tag me at Diana Lugoli and tell me what's your big takeaway. With that being said, I'm sending you a daily dose of D. I love you and I'm so grateful for you. Till infinity. Mwah.